Irreverent. Entertaining. Cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are officially on the couch. Welcome, everyone, as you always are on Fridays, 11 in the morning Pacific Standard Time, and all over the world, wherever you're at. Love to have you. And today is always an amazing show with a guest who's going to blow you away to help you out. With dealing with bullies in your life, particularly the bully in the workplace. So stay tuned. And also, by the way, if you would like to email me a question, you can do so here right at the station. StraightTalkDoc@gmail.com. That's StraightTalkDoc@gmail.com. We do have a live line here if you want to call in. A lot of people are kind of shy. They don't want to get their voices on the air. So it's cool if you call me, though. It's 323-203-0815. 323-203-0815 right here on the couch. Hey, guys, have you felt intimidated at work? Do you dread your work? I mean, do you feel bullied by someone, a coworker, a boss? Are you yelled at, insulted, put down by your manager? Does a coworker talk over you at meetings, or do they criticize you? Do they steal credit for your work? Oh, yeah, I've been into that one before. Well, if you've answered yes to these questions, well, chances are good that you're one of millions of Americans, and you're going to be blown away at how many millions of Americans who have been attacked by a bully at work. And you know you're working with a bully when the person picks out your mistakes and constantly brings them up. Come on, what is that about? Or worse, the bully gossips about you, tells lies to your coworkers, and even sabotages your work. Oh, that's deep. That's bad. You know, if your employer won't help you, which many times, according to studies, they just won't. Or they can't because their rear ends are on the line, whatever reason. There are actions to take to defeat the bully or overcome the stress and anger that these folks have caused you. So today I'm talking about how to identify bullies, the different types of bullying in the workplace, and what you can do to deal with these folks. How to take care of yourself with those toxic bosses or coworkers and or anybody in your life for that matter. This is applying to all aspects of those folks who bully you. And my guest today is Andrew Foss. He's the head of the Foss Foundation, which focuses on healthcare, education, and medical research. He has been a management advisor and former senior executive with Canada's two largest retail organizations. And of course, he has made bullying in the workplace a passion and helping prevent it a reason for being. I love that. We're talking about Andrew's latest book. It's called The Bully's Trap, Bullying in the Workplace. Andrew, great to have you on the show today here on the couch.
Well, thank you for having me.
Listen, I really enjoyed your book. It's a pleasure.
Well, thank you.
Really good read. And also, I love the steps that you give to people in order to help them identify the bullies and also how to take care of themselves, which is wonderful. Because it's a statistical book, it's got great information, it's an easy read, but it also has some self-help tools for people. So thank you for that. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
So I've invited folks to call in if they want to, or even email me. A lot of people will email us questions, so we'll be ready for your questions, guys, if you have any. But, you know, your case studies about bullying in organizations are really interesting. I was really blown away by the statistics you shared. So can you just sort of talk about some of those statistics about bullies in the workplace?
Well, I can, and there are really two that stand out for me.
Mm-hmm.
And the one is the Gallup polling, which shows that 70% of North American employees mm-hmm. are not engaged.
Whoa.
And you can say, well, what does that have to do with bullying?
Right.
So when you peel the onion. Mm. On that statistic, what we found is that employees are not engaged largely because of two reasons. The first reason is the lack of trust and respect that they have for their boss, and by extension, the company that they work for.
Yes. Yeah.
And the other statistic is even more significant, and that is there are 120,000 deaths annually that
wow.
may be attributable to workplace stress.
Oh my God!
And there's stress in the world.
Yeah.
The market creates stress, and that is a reality. But it's the unnecessary stress that is causing the most problems.
Mm.
And unnecessary, one of the biggest unnecessary stress factors is bullying and toxic work environments.
Oh boy, that is the word. Have you ever shared or have you ever experienced a toxic work environment yourself or shared it with your family? Oh, good. You're laughing. I like that.
Well, my first experience with the word bullying was when I was called out as a young executive for being a bully.
Mm. Really?
And it was the most important lesson I've ever received.
Yeah.
And it taught me, thankfully at an early age, that respect is a far more powerful motivator than fear.
Wow.
And throughout my career, the main thing that I've done is really get people to talk about mm-hmm. how they feel about their work and how they're being led.
Wow.
And by listening to that, eliminating unnecessary stress factors, mm-hmm. allowing people to be authentic,
mm-hmm.
allowing people to express themselves without fear of retaliation,
right.
and allowing people to work to their full potential.
Oh, yeah. That
which
makes a lot
of
sense.
What most people want to do.
Oh yeah, exactly, Andrew.
And at the end of my career, ironically enough, I was the target of bullying when I exposed a corrupt executive,
or
blew the whistle on a corrupt executive.
Oh boy!
And I went through 18 months of sheer hell.
Oh my gosh!
My phones were hacked. My emails were tapped into.
Wow!
I received an anonymous death threat. Private investigator was hired to find dirt on me.
Oh my goodness.
I was totally discredited in the business community, shunned by associates, and through that I lost 30 pounds, which I could ill afford to do, developed a serious case of shingles, and encountered something that I found most people go through who are severely bullied.
Wow.
I settled my situation to my satisfaction.
Good. Good.
But even after that, I could not let go of it.
Yes.
It was just such negative energy.
My
waking hours, I was just consumed by this.
Yeah.
And I woke up one morning and said, listen, I've got to shift this negative energy to positive energy.
Mm-hmm.
And what better topic than to relay what I went through, but more importantly, what others go through. I had the background to deal with it.
Yes.
And even
exactly.
I had difficulty with it. with it.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, if I had difficulty,
right,
I cannot imagine what others who are going through this are going, I can't imagine what they're going through.
Yeah, and you're a high-functioning guy. that's right. I mean, you know.
So I started the research. I wrote the book, and I'm not an author.
Yeah.
Somebody asked me, when's my next book coming out? And I said, well, I'd rather have my chest and other parts of my body waxed.
Oh, you're hilarious.
Than write a book.
I'm gonna take you up on that, because I want a part two here.
But the book is a vehicle by which I can open and discussion and debate on a topic that's been largely under the radar.
Oh, that's right. That really
and
is.
Bullying in schools has gotten a lot of exposure due to the suicides.
Oh, yes. It's terrible.
High rates of suicides.
Yeah.
And and again, when people talk about bullying in the workplace, they don't relate to that. Because
exactly.
Most people who are bullied say, well, listen, that's just the way it is in the world.
Yeah, exactly.
And,
right.
You know, if you're not if you're not strong enough, then just suck it up.
Yeah, exactly.
And a lot of people I found, they go through the process of being bullied and don't realize it until well into the situation.
Isn't that true? I mean, it's almost like the, they call it the abuse syndrome with many domestic situations. You don't really, you sort of ignore it, you sort of put up with it, and then all of a sudden you start really, wait a minute, you start seeing little signs and really start coming into, it's almost like a denial. We kind of go into denial about it, huh?
It is, because there's a stigma attached to
it. Sure,
like, I'm not strong enough, or maybe I am causing the problem.
Right. So,
and so it it's also because bullying in schools is very overt.
Sure.
In most situations, it's very verbal. It's right out there in cyberspace. It's often physical.
Yeah.
And when it's in the workplace, however, it's far more, if you will, civilized.
Right. Yeah, far more
so subtle and complex.
Yes, and we can talk about
And when a person confronts it, the bully usually says, or HR says, that's just his or her style.
That's right.
He really doesn't mean anything by it, and... Mm-hmm. And he's a star performer, and he's just so passionate about his her job.
That's
and
right.
That's how the way they manifest themselves.
Well, that's right. You know, a lot of management wants to protect these people because they're making a lot of money, maybe for the company, or they're just kind of turning their heads, and or a lot of coworkers want to keep their jobs. So they just sort of, like you said, they turn their head the other way, and they don't really want to. They want to save their own family and their own income, and they're putting up with these people as well. But,
And that's very understandable, because a lot of people say to people who are targeted, well, why don't you just get out?
Yeah.
Well, if you've got two kids, a mortgage, a dog, and the house is underwater and no place to go,
kidding.
That's not...
That's right.
That should not be the first answer.
Well, that's so true. By the way, guys, in case you just tuned in on LA Talk Radio here, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle and my special guest today, Andrew Foss. He's the head of the Foss Foundation, which focuses on healthcare education and medical research. He's been a management advisor, former senior executive with Canada's two largest retail organizations. And, of course, he's made bullying in the workplace a passion. He's trying to help prevent it, and trying to empower us all to manage, deal with it, cope, and move on with our lives. And we're going to be telling you how you can get his book, Bullying in the Workplace. It's called The Bully's Trap, which I really like. We're going to find out exactly what that is. But I'd like to invite you guys, if you would like to email me, you have a question about or comment or story you'd like to share about a bully in the workplace or a bully in your life and how you handled it. We love those stories. More fodder for Andrew's second book. How's that, Andrew? Huh? Now you got to do it. Little guilt there.
I'm committed.
You like that little guilt I put on you? I love to focus on some of the characteristics of a bully, because we all, you know, in the psychological world, we have the DSM, which is the Diagnostic Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders. And, you know, one of those books is the Narcissistic Personality Disorder, which describes a lot of these folks. What I also thought was cool, by the way, guys, there's stories in this book, real life stories about people who've been bullied and the bullies themselves, which brings me to Lance Armstrong, because you talk about him and his character and his profile. On Entertainment Tonight, I was asked to describe Armstrong's body language and how he spoke with his interview with Oprah. So I did that a couple of years ago. And I found that what I was reading in your book was, that's what I picked up, yes. And you describe him as the chief bullying officer of the International Cycling Union. So what are those characteristics of a bully like that?
Well, they're what you just described. Mm. And they are narcissistic, and they only focus on what is in their best interest. Mm. They will not tolerate, they will annihilate anyone who goes against them in any way, shape, or form.
Mm. Yeah.
And we see that today, unfortunately, with the top presidential contender.
Mm-hmm.
And so just analyze that person, and you will...
Gee, you're being so careful, Andrew.
you
come
will
on,
be
just
a
say
bully.
The T word. Go ahead. Just say it.
yeah, Trump. I'm Canadian, so I normally don't...
That's right.
On...
Such a gentleman.
But it also... it's also interesting to see what is feeding a person like Trump.
Mm.
And Sarah Palin put it, I won't say eloquently, but she said, people are mad.
Uh-huh. Yes, people are mad. Yeah.
And I'm working with the Yale University at the moment on a major initiative that we're going to be announcing on the 21st of February.
Cool.
But that is to gain a real deep understanding of why people feel the way they do.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly.
So we're seeing in the political arena today that people are angry.
Right.
And the question is what are they angry about?
Yeah, yeah.
And what I'm finding is that people are angry because of what they see happening in their workplace.
Interesting. So you're attributing it to that, a lot of that.
A lot of it. And it's natural because people spend the bulk of their waking hours at work.
Right. And they're frustrated
with their life.
Yeah, they're not getting what they need.
And what they are experiencing is having to do or witnessing things that fall outside of their ethical bounds.
Right. Right. Exactly.
And if they confront it, they have, because they are afraid to confront it, because what they have witnessed others go through.
Right. Sure. And that's natural. We don't want to be
targeted. And that is very, very natural.
Well, look at what you went through, too. I mean, my goodness.
Yes.
Oh, well.
So, when we look at profiles of bullies, I characterize them as really two types of bullies.
Mm-hmm.
One is the Lance Armstrong and the Donald Trump.
Okay.
You know, who are the chief bullying officers.
All right.
But there's a continuum of bullying that takes place in organizations.
Right.
And that is activist shareholders, bully the board of directors.
Mm-hmm.
The board of directors in turn bully the CEO.
Right.
The CEO bullies their executives.
Yeah.
Their executives bully their managers. The managers bully the workers.
Right. Right.
But it doesn't stop there.
Right. Right.
Because all of those, and that's the second characterization of a bully, is a bullied bully.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So
exactly.
from the CEO down.
Right.
They, in many, many instances, mm-hmm. become that bullied bully.
Yeah, exactly.
And they take that home with them.
Yes. Yeah, they do.
And the scars that leaves on people in their developmental years, children,
mm-hmm.
Is, and I'll give the analogy mm-hmm. of vets that come home with post-traumatic stress disorder.
Right, right.
And all of the ramifications of that. And the biggest ramification and the most long-term ramification
right.
is what they do to children.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. No, it's so true. Yeah, let's check out some of those characteristics. And guys, I want you to think about this. Do you know someone in your workplace who's doing this? Preoccupied with fantasies of unlimited success. Okay, there's nothing really wrong with that, but wait until I give the other ones. Now, this is the cluster we're dealing with here. They believe that they're special and unique. There's no humility. They require excessive admiration. They possess a strong sense of entitlement. And that's the biggie, by the way. Exploiting others, lacking empathy, and exhibiting high levels of arrogance. Interesting. I don't know if you were watching, I think it was the ABC special Bernie and Madoff show last night. Did you watch that series?
You know, I tried to get it, and
yeah.
I wasn't able to receive it for some reason.
Oh,
so.
Darn. Well, it
and,
was,
I'm
yeah.
so technically inept that it's small wonder, but
yes.
I am going to try to get it on another segment.
What was so interesting...
But I did hear about it.
What was so interesting about that, and you can find it, it's out there, and probably I'm sure they're going to be rerunning it because it was done so well. The acting was amazing. But... what I found really interesting is, and I'm getting off point for a minute, but I just wanted to share that, was Bernie at the beginning was sort of fishing and reeling in all of his victims. I mean, he was nice and he was reeling in, and of course, he required excessive admiration and, of course, strong sense of entitlement. He had all of these characteristics, but what he was doing was sort of reeling in these people. But then when he was put to the wall, at the end, when they were finding out all his organization was unraveling and all the fraudulent things that were going on, he became a bully, full out. His whole demeanor changed. So he became this person that he was probably internally and started being arrogant and yelling and accusing people. And it was just amazing how his demeanor changed with all these people who were his so-called wonderful investors who he loved. So, you know, you nailed it in terms of this is what the different levels are. You know, he's under the gun, so he is the top guy. Now his levels changed, and all the people below him changed as well. So you talk about five forms of bullying in the workplace that people should be aware of. Let's talk about some of those things.
Well, in the workplace, I would say that psychological bullying is the most critical.
Yeah, yeah.
And you mentioned a bit earlier in terms of the bully's trap. And so what is the bully's trap? And the bully's trap is... the target becoming what the bully wants them to become,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
which is the villain rather than the victim.
Okay, all right.
And bullying is not just one incident of yelling or screaming. It's a combination of events, comments, and actions that go on for a period of time.
Right.
That... Right. that brings the target down.
Mm-hmm.
It's intended to create harm.
Right. Yeah.
And as I indicated earlier, it's so subtle and complex that the target doesn't realize until well into the situation that's what's happening.
Right, right, right.
And when the bully goes to the CEO or human resources and with the ammunition to say, this person is a bad employee, bad performance, poor performance, with a bad attitude.
Wow. Yeah, exactly.
And the thing is that he's right.
Yes.
He or she's right.
Yep. Yep.
And it's completely understandable
mm-hmm.
that person is the way they become.
Yes. Yes.
Because of the abuse, the harassment, the badgering.
Right.
The, exploitation, like it's completely understandable.
Yes, exactly.
And that's where the bully wins,
mm-hmm.
and the target is the villain.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And unfortunately, doesn't get the kind of support that is required by the organization.
No, that's right.
And I'm very critical of human resources in this whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, why are HR factions of an organization or a workplace, why are they hesitant or why do they pull back and not take such action on bullies?
Well, they become complicit.
Yes,
where they're part of the problem versus part of the solution.
Yeah,
it could be, and it is in many instances where they are not qualified.
Right.
To deal with this.
Yeah, that's true.
And in many instances, they're cowards.
Right. Yep, they are. They are cowards sometimes. So there's
three things.
Yeah,
and I believe that human resources should be part of the problem.
Yeah, exactly. That's what they're there for. Human
they
resources.
They should be responsible for protecting the integrity of the culture of the organization.
Right. Right.
The same way as a CFO is responsible for maintaining the integrity of the numbers.
Yep, that's right. Exactly.
And
they should.
There's a lot of work, however, to be done in terms of shifting that.
Yes,
and,
there is.
And I know I get a fair bit of feedback from people in HR. My background, interestingly enough, is in labor relations,
mm-hmm.
where I was the chief spokesman for a decade.
Oh, that's great.
On management side.
Yeah.
So I know the challenges of their role.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, but
they're paid big bucks,
mm-hmm.
and they have a responsibility to employees.
Yeah, they really do. They really do.
And if they're not fulfilling that responsibility for the bucks they're earning,
mm-hmm.
they should change.
Yeah, no kidding. By the way, guys, in case you just tuned in here on LA Talk Radio, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle and my special guest today, Andrew Foss. We're talking about his latest book. It's The Bully's Trap. It's about bullying in the workplace. But it's also, you know, great because it gives you information about bullies in general and their characteristics and their types and how to cope and deal with it. And we're going to be talking about how you can be a little more proactive in the environment and also for yourself to manage the bully in the workplace. So we're talking about the forms of bullying, and there's verbal bullying, of course, which we've all been subject to. I think all of us have at one time or another. Psychological bullying. There's physical bullying, which, it really is. Cyberbullying is a huge thing going on right now. And, of course, blacklisting, which, you know, many times the bully does not stop after the target leaves. And, you know, blacklisting goes on and on. So I love the way you say that you're astonished how the so-called professionals who advise people who are targeted to quit, not realizing that the bully usually follows the target. And it makes it almost impossible to get out of the trap. So what is that bully's trap? What is that, Andrew, that you're talking about?
Well, the bully's trap is just falling into it.
Yeah.
And as I outlined earlier,
yeah.
You're so right in terms of it. Once they're trapped, it is so hard to get out.
Yes. Exactly.
And if you look at the cover of the book, the person's right down there,
mm-hmm.
and there are bystanders looking down.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
And that's all they're doing.
Yes. No, that's all
they're
doing.
And in terms of advice that I give is I am suggesting that more and more employees become advocates for people who are targeted.
Right.
And that is bottom up.
Right.
Activism.
Right.
That can and should influence an organization.
So where do they go to? I mean, they feel like they have to keep quiet if HR isn't behind them, and then if they find, of course, management or coworkers find out, then it gets worse, and then they start what's called splitting people. Well, he said this about you, and he said this about, you know, there's that whole dark cloud of let's attack this poor person, like you experienced, Andrew. So,
yes.
So it's organizing. It's sort of it's really getting an environment in each organization to where people feel safe enough to go to management, who's not bullying them, or HR, or maybe a watchdog group in the company that can keep the bullying at a minimum, right?
That would be ideal, and that's certainly something that I advocate in terms of creating psychologically safe workplaces.
Yeah.
And we're not near there.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, in too many cases, people have nowhere to go in an organization to stop the bullying. So what I advise is, number one, do not deal with it alone.
Right.
Just because you can't go to someone inside doesn't mean you can't talk to somebody outside, be it a family member or a good friend or somebody that can relate to what you're going through.
Yes.
Because it's so important on how to confront it.
Yes, yes.
And I believe that it can and should be confronted.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because often, more often than not, bullies tend to be cowards.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And part of their psychology or
their profile
is to when attacked.
Yep.
In many cases, they will back down.
Yeah. Yes, they will sometimes. That's how you fight the bully.
But not always.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you should be very careful in terms of how you do confront.
Yeah.
And I was speaking to somebody on the plane the other day, and gave me her story. And by the way, I've talked to on this has a story.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Of either someone, either themselves or somebody close to them.
Yep.
And she was relaying a story about how this one manager was always telling off-color jokes and making just inappropriate comments about her.
Yeah, yeah.
And she went up to the person and said, "Why are you saying that?"
Good. Right.
And they had a discussion about it.
Mm-hmm. So why
and
was he saying that?
He said, you know, "Thank you for telling me that."
Yes. Yeah. I'm just a dirty old man.
and I've dealt with so many sexual harassment complaints.
Oh God, yeah. You know, just to share something with you, what just happened in the news a couple of days ago this week. I don't know if you heard about it. I'm sure you did because you're a champion and you mentioned him in your book. The former mayor of San Diego, Bob Filner.
Yes.
Remember that guy? Remember that guy? He's right down here in Southern California. He resigned, you know, over a couple of years ago as part of a sexual harassment settlement with his former press secretary. Now, this week, the news reported that Filner cost the city, because he was the mayor, another $667,000 to pay another woman who he apparently tried to hug and kiss. He locked her in the room, in the kitchen, and put her on the kitchen table and said, let's have sex right now. And apparently did this a lot. He would sort of push her around and intimidate her. Now, 17 other women have come forward. 17 other with the same allegations about this guy. So he's costing the money. He already paid out $250,000 to someone else in an earlier case. So, you know,
but not only costing yeah. money, but think of the 17 yeah. other
That's
lives.
Right. That's it.
That
That's
have
exactly
been ruined.
Right. That's right. They have been ruined.
And people, you know, these people, like, you know, the people in the Cosby scandal and in Canada.
Right.
One of our star broadcasters, it's just going to trial.
Yep.
And the defense attorney is totally, totally annihilating these people.
Sure. That's what
they
do.
Totally discrediting them.
Sure.
And these poor people are having to relive mm-hmm. horrors from the past.
Right. That's right.
And that's one of the reasons that people are so afraid to come forward.
Yeah. It's a horrible process.
People discredit them
sure.
for not wanting to subject themselves to that kind of barbaric treatment.
It is barbaric treatment. And the defendants of the bullies, you know, the defendant lawyers, they're just, oh, my God, they do. They find, like you said, what you experienced. They hired detectives to find out
yeah.
dirt about you, which I'm sure they couldn't find. But
well, I keep saying I hope they found a little.
I don't care.
It would make my life a little interesting.
That's right. We can tweet about it.
Not that kind of dirt, though.
That's right. That's exactly right. But no, you're so right. The psychological suffering, and I want to get into the PTSD that some of these people, you know, experience. As well. And guys, if you want to email me, we do have a lot of questions coming in. But oh, I just want to just keep on going with you here in the interview. It's straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. So people are, you know, dealing with the sexual harassment. And it's not only women, it's guys, too. I mean, there are a lot of cases going on. Do you suggest that people, when bullying gets so bad in the workplace and people have tried to reach out to HR, and do you suggest that people start taking notes, record other people, get witnesses to things, and hire an attorney? Is this the way to go sometimes?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Depending on this, always depending on the situation.
Right.
And I'm just going to maybe just talk a little bit further on the sexual abuse and harassment.
Sure.
What I've done as an executive over the years is as soon as I hear a whiff of anything going on,
yeah,
I go to the person who it's alleged is doing it.
Yes.
And in a non-accusatorial
yeah, no, I know what you're saying. yeah.
manner, yeah. or accusatory manner, I
yeah.
should say,
yeah.
I say, listen, here's what I'm hearing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not accusing you of anything. All I want to do is make sure the noise goes away.
Right. Right.
And if the person tries to argue with me and say, well, he's not doing this, or he's not doing that, or she's not doing this, or she's not doing that, my response is, well, then you're in good shape.
Right.
But think about it, and if you're doing anything that could give rise to this kind of noise, stop it.
Right. Exactly. Yep.
And in 99% of the cases, that happens.
Yes. Yeah.
Because the women who are brave enough to come forward,
yes,
they don't want to make a federal case out of it.
Right. That's right.
They just want it stopped.
Yeah.
And so in the first instance for executives is they've got to understand what's going on in their organization,
mm-hmm.
you know, whether sexual harassment or other kinds of bullying or abuse.
Right.
And nip it in the bud.
Yep. Yep, exactly.
And by doing that, it will solve 80% of the problem. Now, Amazon, the New York Times did an expose on Amazon
mm-hmm.
At the end of last year. I don't know whether you read that or not.
I did peek at that. Mm-hmm.
And if 25% of that is true, it is like a rat's nest of toxicity.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. You know it's a lot larger.
But the problem, the two problems with how Bibas, the CEO, reacted,
mm-hmm.
his comment to the article was, that's not the Amazon I know.
Yes, yes.
And he's either deflecting or
saving his butt.
That's his model.
That's right.
And the other is, a few weeks after that, went on a witch hunt
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
to try to find out who of his employees talked to the newspaper.
Right, right.
And it's a great example of the attitude of organizational leaders.
Yes,
on this.
Exactly, yeah.
And the false economics that they place on abusive management.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And they, in my view, truly believe that by putting the fear of whatever into a person,
mm-hmm. yeah.
it forces people to work harder.
It really does. Yeah. No,
and
that's right.
That may hold true for a short period of time.
Yeah.
But in the long term, they'll die.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. That's right.
And another recent example is what's going on in Flint, Michigan.
Mm. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
And there's a code of silence.
It's kind of weird, isn't it? It's kind of scary.
Totally. And I have a nephew who works in water sanitation in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And his point was that everybody in that organization, or had anything to do with that organization, knew what was going on.
Wow. Wow. So he should
speak up. It's impossible for them not to.
Yes. Yeah.
And my question is, well, why wouldn't somebody put their hand up?
Yeah. No.
And he said, well, people that did put their hand up got canned.
Yep. That's right. And that's what many times we fear if we're being bullied
so,
in the workplace. Yeah.
That if you know, when I talk to executives now, and I do get a lot of pushback in
yeah.
terms of people saying my findings and my statistics and my recommendations are all extreme exaggerations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then I talk to them and say, okay, how would you like to be the mayor of or governor of Michigan today?
Yeah, right.
How would right. you like to be the CEO or on the board of Volkswagen?
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the one good story, by the way, is Mary Barra.
Yeah. Yeah.
At GM.
Right.
She inherited the ignition switch
mm-hmm.
Situation.
Right.
Scandal.
Yep.
And a couple of weeks back, she said to her entire organization,
mm-hmm.
we obviously have to fix this.
Mm-hmm.
But the ignition scandal is not the issue.
Right.
Our culture is the issue.
Wow.
Why was this allowed to happen?
Wow, very interesting.
And we have to fix this culture as part of the ignition switch,
right,
because this can and should never, ever, ever happen again.
She's right.
She got it right.
Yes, she did. Now, and that's what a lot of management should do. We're running out of time here, Andrew. I just wanted to suggest to folks out there that you can find out more also that we haven't had a chance to cover, because we've been, boy, this book is vast. There's so many cool things to observe and find out about the bully's trap. But guys, you can also find out about some of the things that you can do that Andrew suggests. This is some self-help stuff, you know, in terms of don't dealing with it alone, and, you know, don't validate that bullying, understand what is motivating the bullying, things like keep a detailed diary, which we talked about, of what you were going through. Don't fall into that bully's trap. Don't get set up. Call the bully on it, like Andrew suggested. Different ways that you can read about and find out how to help yourself psychologically as well, guys. So this is a great book. It's really, and it also talks about the different types of organizations, just so you can kind of check out and find out where you're fitting into this organization, or what type of, you know, work environment you're getting into. So, Andrew, what's the best way listeners can find out more about you and pick up your book, The Bully's Trap?
Actually, my website is www.andrewfoss.com.
That's
and
easy.
I do a blog. I post 3 items a week.
Mm.
I could do 20 items a week, but we've limited it to 3. And hopefully it's only 3 that we'll be able to deal with if
yeah.
this thing catches hold.
Well, that's right. Well, you know what? Exactly. But no, I really appreciate your, from a psychological point of view, I really appreciate your outlining the personality characteristics. And also what's really cool is that you give actual stories about people. You know, you've shared a lot of stories, and we've been talking about some of the newsmakers, you know, here on the show today. Such as, you know, the classic bully, you know, the Lance Armstrong thing, and, you know, of course, many folks who stood out, you know, in the news, who really fit that profile. But I really appreciate all of the great reading and stories in this book. So thank you for putting all this effort into it.
It is about those who are going through just a horrible situation.
Yeah.
And the more we can do to have a discussion and debate on it, it will be those people that we're helping.
Yes, you said it. Andrew, thank you so much for being such a great guest today.
My pleasure.
Oh, it's been fun. It's gone too fast. So, all right, you take good care, and we'll be looking forward to that. I'm not going to tease you anymore. We'll be looking forward to that second book.
No. Well, I say that, but there is one in the work.
Oh, good. See,
it's going to be called The ABCs of Living.
Ooh.
And putting the word civil back into the word civilization.
Oh, I like that. Oh, thank you so much for that, Andrew. Take good care. We'll catch up again soon.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye now. By the way, folks, if you want to check out the show and find out more about bullying in the workplace, how you can manage it, deal with it, protect your psyche as well, you can replay the show. Yeah, it'll be up in the archives tomorrow with more information about how you can get a hold of Andrew Foss's book, The Bully's Trap. Don't be bullied. Just take care of yourself first, and then you'll be good for others. That's the way I always say it at the end of the show. Next week, another great show with one of my favorite guests, author Catherine Foster. She's going to be talking about when your relationship changes. And also coming up, we're going to be talking to the author of, oh, such a good book, Jeff Foster. We're going to be hearing about transference and how we all do it in our lives and what happens and how to cope. All right. Take good care, guys. Thanks so much. Bye-bye. Again tonight, seeing flashing rays of colored light. Come back here so I can get your name. Oh, wouldn't know what to say to you just the same.
endless fires, 1,000 watts of sound. But I see you.